emergency room because he had walking pneumonia. And see, you know, you take health for granted until it's your health.
My name is Victoria Ketty, and you are listening to WGXC Accra 90.7 FM.
WGXC is always looking for new programmers to volunteer at your community radio station. Email info@wgxc.org if you have all sorts of terrific music you want to share with your friends and neighbors, or if you want to join in the greater community conversation on the radio at 90.7 FM. Programmers learn how to do their own radio show and podcast, and how to make audio adventures interesting for listeners. You can call the WGXC Hudson Studio at 518-697-7400 or email info@wgxc.org if you're interested in hosting a program or working with others on or off the air on WGXC. WGXC underwriting support is provided by Gemini Construction, a full-service contracting firm specializing in complete electrical construction services. Gemini Construction, serving Greene and surrounding counties for over 40 years. For more information, contact 518-622-9829.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Food New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
This is Tom Rowe with the WGXC News Update. Go to the WGXC Newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about any of these stories. Daily Freeman reports that State Health Commissioner Dr. Howard Zucker said in a statement December 26th that his office and state police are investigating the distribution of the COVID-19 vaccine by the Park Care Community Health Network in Orange County. State police are looking into if the healthcare provider, quote, may have fraudulently obtained the vaccine and diverted it to other facilities to be given to members of the public, unquote. Zucker said, quote, we take this very seriously and Department of Health will be assisting state police in a criminal investigation into this matter. Anyone found to have knowingly participated in this scheme will be held accountable to the fullest extent of the law, unquote. Park Air has locations in Brooklyn, Manhattan, and in Monroe County, and in the Hudson Valley in Orange County. While more details should emerge in that story, the current COVID-19 surge in the area continues. The state web tracker reported on December 26th that Greene County had 19 positive tests on December 25th, and Columbia County had 24 new positive tests. In Rensselaer County, there were 106 new cases of coronavirus and 215 in Albany County. It was the sixth day in a row that Albany County reported more than 200 cases, and on December 26th, Albany County also reported another death. Dutchess County reported 146 new cases on December 26th, and there were 87 more cases added in Ulster County. The Daily Freeman is reporting that after heavy rain and a massive snowmelt December 24th and 25th, creeks and adjacent roadways flooded region-wide, causing significant damage to the main lodge at the Bel Air Mountain Ski Center. At the same time, strong winds knocked out power to tens of thousands of Central Hudson gas and electric customers. Flooding was reported along the upper Esopus Creek in Phoenicia, the Roundout Creek in Kingston in Rosendale, and locations in Greene County, among other places. The National Weather Service reported that the total rainfall across the region ranged from 2 to 8 inches, and the fast melting of snow left over from the December 17th winter storm added to the volume of water. Bel Air in Chedenken said on its website that after more than 6 inches of rain fell on the mountain, quote, supersaturated snow from the Yahoo Trail let loose and slid into the Overlook Lodge, unquote. The lodge sustained significant damage, with windows and doors broken. Bel Air was closed when the slide occurred and no injuries were reported. Bel Air remained closed to skiers Saturday, December 26th, but the resort was expected to reopen 9 a.m. Sunday, December 27th. A spokesperson said that 3 trails and 4 lifts would be in operation. Central Hudson reported late Saturday, December 26th, that it had 505 outages remaining, including just 12 in Ulster County, down from about 14,000, and 270 in Dutchess County, down from more than 15,000. Amelia Teasdale is reporting for the Columbia paper that Chatham Mayor John Howe, December 13th, proposed the village board abolish the village court. Howe said that he had promised a, quote, cost versus the benefits, unquote, analysis of the court and its operations when he was elected in 2019. He said the cost of its maintenance balanced against the revenue it produces are, quote, pretty much a wash, unquote. And he pointed out the village pays for 2 police officers to be at court when it is held. Village attorney Ken Dow said there are some conflicts with the state election law and village law on the timing for the court's dissolution if it has to go on the village ballot. Quote, the timing gets a little tricky here, unquote, he said. Dow is also the county Democratic election commissioner. The village board could pass a local law to abolish the court, but as a permissive referendum, the board would have to give residents 30 days to petition the board's decision. If 20% of the village residents signed the petition, the question of dissolving the court would go on the village ballot in March of 2021. Dow also noted the village cannot dissolve the court in the midst of a village justice's term. Judge James Borgia Forster's term expires April 1st, Dow said. Dow's advice, quote, basically you have to have it done pretty soon, unquote, due to the timing of the elections and the justice's term. Dow said that the issue would be discussed further by the board at its January meeting. Read more about the story in the Columbia paper. Leila Schneider is reporting for Columbia Green Media that the Hudson Common Council, December 13th, unanimously approved a resolution authorizing Mayor Kamal Johnson to request that Assemblyperson Dee Dee Barrett introduce legislation to reduce the city's speed limit to 25 miles per hour in Hudson. The current speed limit is 30 miles per hour. Quote, I have mixed feelings, unquote, Johnson said of the request. Quote, safety is a priority for our city, but I'm not completely sold on the fact that lowering the speed limit will help, unquote. The mayor is thinking about not taking the action put forward in the resolution. The resolution reads, quote, now, therefore, let it be resolved that Mayor Johnson is authorized and encouraged to write a letter to Assemblymember Barrett requesting special legislation authorizing the city to adopt a 25-mile-per-hour speed limit on streets in the city of Hudson, unquote. Gunnar Warden, spokesperson for Barrett's office, said that last week no official correspondence from the city on the matter has been received and that Barrett will reserve comment until the letter arrives. The city must have permission from New York State to adjust the citywide speed limit. Once the state legislature okays the change, the council would then create a local law and conduct a public hearing. Read more about the story at HudsonValley360.com and read more about any of these stories in the WGXC newsroom at WGXC.org. The National Weather Service in Albany predicts a sunny Sunday with a high of just 33 and a low around 25 Sunday night. Monday, there is a 40% chance of rain or snow showers before 10 a.m., then turning to just all rain with mostly cloudy skies. A high near 42. Monday night, a low around 21 is in the forecast. Tuesday, another day with a 20% chance of snow showers before 1 p.m. Then it turns mostly sunny with a high near 27 and a low around 17. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Catskill Hudson, radio for open ears.
Hi, Laura Kuhn here, director of the John Cage Trust, bringing you a deep dive into the intriguing life and work of Renaissance man John Cage, celebrated composer, poet, philosopher, chess pupil of Marcel Duchamp, life partner of Merce Cunningham, macrobiotic chef, exponent of Zen, visual artist, and avid and pioneering mycologist. Tune in to All Things Cage, 7 p.m. Saturdays beginning January 2nd, for conversations with cage experts and enthusiasts from around the world, right here at Wave Farm's WGXC 90.7 FM, radio for open ears, and via the web at wavefarm.org.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Willa Kay of West Shokan, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about Creative Community Radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You, too, can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
You are tuned to 90.7 FM, WGXC. Hands-on, listener-supported radio for Greene and Columbia counties.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXE 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson, listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
And I am Lena, and I am from Hudson. And I used to be going to school, but school's out for this year. I'll see them next year.
You made it through the first bit of this great school year.
Yeah.
Champ.
Yeah.
Well done. Yay. And we're recording this on Wednesday, December 23rd, but the first air date of this show, or broadcast date, is Christmas. So for anyone who celebrates, Merry Christmas if you're listening right now.
Merry Christmas. And if you don't celebrate Christmas, then happy holidays.
Yeah. And I think the second date, I'm pretty sure Kwanzaa starts on the 26th this year. And our second broadcast date is the 27th. So happy Kwanzaa to anyone who celebrates as well.
Happy Kwanzaa.
Hooray.
Hooray.
We're here every week talking about books.
Books we love, books we dislike, the bookish of the things.
The bookish of the things.
Yes.
All that good stuff. And we're usually joined by our friend Amelia, who usually says that books part.
Yeah.
And Mashuda and Fatia and sometimes AJ or Nico. But it's just me and Lena today.
Yeah.
Party. Yeah. Lena and Emily party. Although Lena keeps calling me Amelia today. So I think she's missing Amelia. I'm used to being called wrong names. I'm visiting my parents for the holidays and they frequently call me either Mila or Sarah, which is my niece and my sister's names. I used to be called names. I don't get that anymore.
Okay, I feel like it's reasonable for your sister because you guys look almost exactly alike. But your niece, I don't know about that.
Well, according to my mom, my niece Mila reminds her a lot of me when I was younger. And then the names Emily and Mila are kind of similar. So I give her a pass for that. I find it kind of funny. It was really funny when I used to be called the cat's name or when the cat was called my name. Because she'd be like, Emily, come sit on my lap. And I was like, I'm an adult. I'm not coming to sit on your lap. But she meant the cat. Anyways, true story. So we're gonna talk about some stuff today. Some bookish things. The bookish of the things.
Yeah, but technically I'm not doing a book, but a comic paper strip thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So what? Do you have a particular comic strip thing that you like the most?
I'm going to do one that's titled, so for the one that I'm going to be talking about, one called Pickles.
Pickles. I like pickles.
That's it, right?
To eat.
Yeah, pickles. And it has nothing to do with pickles. Funny. That's funny. Yeah. It's talking about how a elderly woman went to her podiatrist. Podiatrist, that's how you say it?
Yeah. It's a weird word.
Oh. Went to her podiatrist and she had some pain in her toes. And turns out she had been on a diet so she could lose weight. And she lost fat, but she lost fat in her toes and she's mad about that. And her husband is over here like, yes, I've been meaning to compliment you after
her on your slender toes.
Yes, yes. And that's pretty funny.
Can you imagine having losing weight in your toes? I feel like toes don't have much weight to them, usually.
I don't think so. Yeah,
little skinny toes would look funny. No offense to anyone with skinny toes out there.
Yeah.
Your toes are beautiful the way they are.
Yeah. But that'd be weird, losing weight in your toes, and very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is that your go-to comic in the newspaper? Pickles.
Is it always called Pickles? Yeah, that's my go-to comic.
I used to love reading those as a kid in the newspaper, and now I never really read the newspaper. Sorry, newspapers. So I haven't read a comic strip in a long time.
Oh.
So I'll have to check Pickles out.
Another funny Pickles comic thing is like how her and her husband are talking about why her husband is over here like, oh, we got sent a newsletter. Why don't we ever send a newsletter? And then she's over here like, the only reason people do it is just so they can brag and boast. And what is there worth bragging about? And her husband replied, what about those warts you had removed? And that's very interesting.
Yeah.
That would be a very interesting thing to boast about.
I'm so proud.
Yeah, I'm so proud that I got those warts removed. That'd be a pretty funny newsletter. Like, imagine this. You get a newsletter, and it said, so, you know, I got something that I'm very proud about. I got my warts removed. I bet you didn't get your warts removed, or yeah, something like that. Like, that'd just be interesting.
If I ever write a newsletter, I'll send you one, and I'll talk about, well, I don't have any warts, but I will get a wart, and I will remove it, and then I will write about it in the newsletter just for you. Because why not?
Yes, that is the most amazing newsletter that I would have ever gotten. I would have been that one person who's like, oh, I'm jealous, even though I don't have warts, not that I know of, but I'm so jealous, even though I don't have any warts that I probably don't know of, maybe, I don't know. But what book did you have, Emily?
Well, before I go on to talking about what I've been reading, you're talking about a comic strip reminded me of a comic strip that I like that I've never read as a comic strip, but I read the the published version. It was published into a book in its entirety as a hardcover book. And it's called The Adventures of Superhero Girl by Faith Erin Hicks. And it was an Eisner Award winner for best publication for kids. It was originally in the Coast paper, which I'm pretty sure is from Halifax, Nova Scotia. I'm pretty sure, I'm not going to look it up, but I know that's where the artist is from. So it was originally in that paper as a comic strip that would show up in the newspaper called The Adventures of Superhero Girl. And that's also the name of the book that you can get it as. And you can read it online at adventuresofsuperherogirl.com if you want to check it out, which you might want to. And the description I will read to you. What if you can leap tall buildings and defeat alien monsters with your bare hands, but you buy your capes at secondhand stores and have a weakness for kittens? Cartoonist Faith Erin Hicks brings charming humor to the trials and tribulations of young female superhero battling monsters both supernatural and mundane in an all too ordinary world. So it's a funny little comic about a superhero who is struggling to keep things going as a superhero because being a superhero doesn't pay well. And then there's also a lack of villains in the place where she lives. So it's hard to find people to rescue or defeat.
You know, that's a pretty interesting comic strip book thing. And when you said it was published into a hardcover and it was originally a comic strip thing, the first thing that I thought of for some reason was Calvin and Hobbes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an actual book that my brother owns. Calvin, yeah. My brother.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Was he named after the comic strip?
You know, I don't know.
Probably not.
Yeah, probably not.
And then Cecile could be named Hobbs.
Yeah.
I'm sure she'd love that.
I remember once when we were in the library this one time, we found a Calvin Hobbs book and Calvin was over here like, oh my God, Calvin Hobbs, I haven't read this in ages. And I was like, oh, really? I didn't know that. And then they're talking about how the parents should have named CC Hobbs, or they should have named me Hobbs. So it could be Calvin and Hobbs.
Someday. Maybe if you all get a pet, you can name it Hobbs.
Yes. We will name our...
I'm sure Calvin would love that.
Yeah, we should get a pet fish and name it Hobbs. Mm-hmm. Now that I think about it, a few months back, I remember talking about a pet fish, and eventually we never got the fish. But the water evaporated, and every living life form inside of that thing that wasn't the fish died.
Huh.
So that's very interesting, I guess.
Well, speaking of fish, one of the books I wanted to talk about is called The Magic Fish by Trung Le Nguyen. And it is a graphic novel. And I started reading it the other day, but I haven't finished it yet. So I'll read the description to you. Tien loves his family and his friends, but Tien has a secret he's been keeping from them, and it might change everything. Real life isn't a fairy tale, but Tien still enjoys reading his favorite stories with his parents from the books he borrows from the local library. Yeah, it's hard enough trying to communicate with your parents as a kid, but for Tien, he doesn't even have the right words because his parents are struggling with their English. Is there a Vietnamese word for what he's going through? Is there a way to tell them he's gay? A beautifully illustrated story by Trung Le Nguyen that follows a young boy as he tries to navigate life through fairy tales, an instant classic that shows us how we are all connected. The Magic Fish tackles tough subjects in a way that's accessible with readers of all ages and teaches us that no matter what, we can all have our own happy endings. And it's a really beautiful book so far, and it sort of alternates between Tien's sort of day-to-day, like, real life, and then he's also reading a fairy tale story to his mother. And so you go into the, like, world of the fairy tale, and you get to see that because it's a graphic novel. So you're literally seeing it. And then there's also some parallels to his mother's immigrant experience and having left Vietnam. So yeah, it's a really beautiful book, and I am going to finish it probably today. So that's one of the books I'm reading. And then I'm also listening to an audiobook, which is called Clap When You Land by Elizabeth Acevedo. And I just started that today, so I'm not very far in, but it's a novel in verse, and it's told from the perspective of two young women, one living in the Dominican Republic and one in New York, who both suffer a horrible loss when a plane crashes that is carrying their father. But what's interesting is that they don't know that the other exists. So they don't know that they have a sister in New York or the Dominican Republic. So it's about them dealing with their grief and also learning about their father's secret, and sort of facing this new reality. And it's very good because Elizabeth Acevedo is a great writer. And I love novels in verse, and it's nice listening to it on audio because she's reading it. And yeah, I look forward to reading or listening to more of that this week while I'm scanning pictures. That's what I'm doing this week. Hooray. But I read another book by Elizabeth Acevedo that I also loved called The Poet X, which is also a novel in verse about a poet. And then I didn't read the book that came out between those. So if I like this one as much as I think I will, I'll probably go back and read the second one as well. Yeah, so that's what I'm reading this week. What else are you up to this week while you're away from school?
I'm going to try to finish the video that I'm working on for my YouTube channel and start the first video that I will post in 2021. So, like, yes.
Yay.
Yeah. Also, Emily, when you're over here telling me about, like, the Magic Fish book, so when you said and the trouble and him trying to find the words to tell his parents that he's gay, that just really got me. And I was over here like, oh my God, I never thought that would ever happen in a book like this. I want to read this book now. Mm-hmm. Because, like, it is interesting from what you told me, but now it drew me in. I want to go read that book.
Yay!
Yay! Because I happen to know a lot of people who are in the LGBTQ+.
Mm-hmm.
By that, I mean, like, my friend's brother. And I'm pretty sure I happen to so be in the LGBTQ+, too.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you'll like this book. So far, it's really good. And the artwork's really nice. And I like the mix of, like, present-day reality, like, sort of contemporary fiction, and then jumping into the world of the story that he's reading. So it's a nice little mix of story.
So I have a feeling I might get confused sometimes because I remember when I was reading a book that sometimes like jumps from a place to place. I got kind of confused, but I'm going to have to hope that this one makes it kind of easier or like really easy to tell which one is from which, because I remember reading a book and I was like, wait, is this part of the storyline? Is this happening? What's going on? I'm confused.
I think it's pretty, I don't have it in front of me, but I think it's pretty clear when there's a shift. I think even stylistically they look different, but I don't think you'll be confused because the fairy tale part is very, it's very clear that it's the fairy tale.
Oh, okay. Good, because like it was a pretty interesting book and I got confused.
Do you remember what book it was?
No, I actually don't remember.
That's how confusing it was.
Yeah. I probably read it like too long ago. Mm. Also, I'm going to probably have to remember to finally tell my mom that I want to go figure out how to get something from the library.
Oh, yeah.
Our library.
Mm-hmm. From the Hudson Library?
Yeah, the Hudson Library.
Oh, yeah.
I'm also going to have to hope that we didn't both just lose our library cards, because this would be the second time I lost mine. Because I remember coming in to put my keys on my library card, and it was all good until I lost my keys.
Uh-huh. Well, we can always get you a new card.
Yeah. But like, that it's probably just going to be hard, because I remember once telling my mom about it, and she was like, oh, I forgot my ID. Or whatever you need to get your card.
I think I got you a new card once.
Oh, yeah, I'm pretty sure you did.
Because I remember I think Cecile, your sister, had like changed her hair a little bit. And so I didn't recognize her right away. And then all of a sudden I was like, oh, that's you. I know you. But that was before I knew you well. I knew you because you did some stuff with the library, but you weren't on the radio yet at that point.
Oh, ooh. I didn't know that. Oh. Oh, yeah, I'm pretty sure you did do the card thingy, majigger thingy for me. I remember I was over here like, ah, such a nice person. I want to be their friend now. And here I am over here, friends with Emily.
Yay.
Yay.
But yeah, getting books at the library is easier than you'd think. It's as simple as you could give a call and be like, hey, I want to come get some books. And then we say, great, come on over. Because we've been trying to do scheduled appointments so that we can make sure that there's not too many people in the space at the same time. But you don't have to make the appointment like far in advance. You can always call, and as long as there's an opening, we will invite you on in to get some books.
Please ignore the sneezing in the background. It's just my brother, Don. I'm going to guess his allergies. What is he allergic to? I don't know.
Well, hope he figures it out someday.
Yeah. If it's dust, though.
That's rough, yeah. I'm allergic to dust. Mm-hmm. I think most people are at some level.
I feel like I'd just be that one person who's over here, like, having only just breathing problems and when they're around dust and stuff. Hmm. But, like, yeah, other than that, I'm pretty sure I'm good with dust and stuff like that.
It's funny. I've been watching the His Dark Materials series. And there's a thing called dust in that series that is not your usual dust. So you keep saying the word dust over and over again. I keep just thinking of that show.
Whenever I say dust, I keep on thinking of like, okay, so there's this game that I like and it's called Undertale. And so basically every single time you kill a monster, which is a different species thing, I think, whenever they die, they turn into dust. And that's what I'm thinking of whenever I say dust. Yeah.
Cool. Dust means so many things you didn't even know.
Yeah.
And it makes your brother sneeze. Poor Kelvin.
Yeah. Hopefully he doesn't die.
I don't think most people die from dust.
Oh.
Thank goodness, because there's so much of it.
Oh, okay.
Be a danger zone.
I heard that. Wait. Yeah. So I heard that dust is actually made from your skin particles, dead skin particles.
Hmm.
Or was it bacteria?
Yeah, I remember. We're all gross.
Yeah.
I actually just read a kid's book this week called The Secret Life of Boogers, All the Scientific Facts That Make Your Snot Spectacular by Mariona Tolosa Sistere. And it is a very interesting book, and it had really funny illustrations, but it was also so disgusting. I was just like, we're all gross. Like, there's a page where it talks about like how much boogers or mucus we ingest every day. It's just a ridiculous amount. And there's like a picture of a kid with boogers like dripping into their mouth. And then there's like spoons of boogers like all around them. It's just like, this book's so disgusting. But it's just, the human body is miraculous and disgusting all at once.
Okay, for a second, I thought you were frozen because you weren't moving at all.
I'm a statue.
Yeah. While you're over here telling me about books, I'm trying to be over here like, okay, I'm going to multitask by listening and drawing at the same time. And I cannot open my drawing software called Krita. It's also my brother's drawing software, and I'm really sad right now.
Why?
Because half of the time I've been trying to figure out how to open up Krita. It's taken me forever.
That's too bad.
Like, okay.
Well, I think it's time to draw, and we're just about out of time for today. But we hope everyone has a great week with lots of quality reading time. And for those listening on the 25th, Merry Christmas if you celebrate. And for those listening on another day, in the next week, happy Kwanzaa if you celebrate. Regardless, we hope you have a great week. Happy reading.
Yeah. And, also, we forgot New Year's, so happy early, very, very early New Year. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, we'll be back next week to talk about some more books.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Lovers out there, it's your favorite paramours of the radio waves, Donna and Honey, hosts of the Love Motel, every first Friday on WGXC.
Our next show airs on January 1st.
That's New Year's Day, in case you didn't know.
And we want to hear what you're resolving for the great, big, shiny new year ahead.
Call us on our special hotline, leave a message with your resolution, and we'll play it out on the radio.
That's right. We'll cast your intentions out to space and back to all our listeners out there, helping you conjure your truest desires, whatever they are.
Just call 857-DIAL-LOVE.
That's 857-342-5568.
And leave us a message telling us what you'd like to bring into the next year.
Or what you'd like the next year to bring to you.
That number again is 857-DIALLOV, 857-342-5568.
And make sure you tune in January 1st, New Year's Day, at 8 p.m. to join us once again at the Love Motel,
where, just like every first Friday of every month, we'll answer your questions about all things romance and play all your favorite love songs. This is Donna.
And Honey.
Saying see you next year.
And we can't wait to hear from you.
Just want to wish all my African Americans out there a very powerful, happy Kwanzaa. Okay, I hear it's going to be lit and also flame emojis, as well as possibly giving all the feelings. And we're celebrating everything black today. And, you know, it's just black excellence, right? And we're doing all that. African Americans, nobody's ever done more for African Americans, to be honest. So I think we should probably call it, instead of Kwanzaa, what about Trumpza? Okay? Because I can tell you, Kwanzaa, I don't know who he is. I don't know that he had these unemployment numbers for African Americans. I don't know if he ever got 18% of African American men as a Republican to vote for him. And I can tell you Abe Lincoln didn't even come close to those numbers. So when we're talking about people who should have their own black holiday, okay? Remember that jazz singer? Billie Holiday, she was a black holiday, but I'm talking about a better black holiday, namely Trumpza. Okay, so it's gonna be totally fresh, and also fat with a pH. Okay, although I've seen, there's some, I think, diabetes issues. So there's also some African Americans who are fat with an F. Okay, and I think I've done enough for African Americans that I can say Kwanzaa with a hard R. I think I've earned that at least. So have a happy Kwanzaa, okay? And remember, Sleepy Joe wants to destroy our country, total voter fraud, and we're going to win, okay? He's going to be a total disaster for African Americans. And that's why Sidney Powell right now is currently on a basketball court arguing our great case with other African Americans. She called next, and we're going to win, and we're going to win on Kwanzaa.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Next up, I'm joined by Ronnie Minter from the Freedom Unshackled Coalition and Sisters Healing Old Wounds. Ronnie Minter, welcome back to the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
Thank you. Thank you for having me again, and happy holidays to everyone.
Same to you. So today we're talking about clemency, and I'm wondering if you could start off by talking about what does the Freedom Unshackled Coalition do in regard to clemency?
What we're working on is two different things. One is to have clemency done four times a year. Currently, the governors only do clemency the week between Christmas and New Year's, and we would like to see that time get extended four times a year, because the governors absolutely have the ability to grant clemency whenever they want to. Governor Cuomo can wake up tomorrow and say, I'm going to give someone clemency. He can wake up in the middle of March and say, I want to give someone clemency. And just for clarity's sake, when we're talking about executive clemencies, we're not talking in regards to pardons, because generally those individuals are already home. They're just getting their cases kind of like taken away or covered up. We're talking about time computations, which would afford someone the ability to either get released immediately or go in front of a parole board and present themselves to a parole board.
Now, given Governor Cuomo's record on clemencies, of the nature that you're talking about, not pardons, what is your message to him?
My message is to Governor Cuomo is to do better. I mean, he's behind Pataki. Can you believe it, Governor Pataki? His father gave, the first Mario Cuomo gave more clemencies than he has. And as of the end of 2019, he had only given 11 time computations. He gives pardons. And you have to be 90 days to your release date for you to get an early release. And that has been because of the COVID pandemic. But some people are confusing that as saying Governor Cuomo's given clemencies. That's not clemency. That's someone who has 90 days to their release date and they're getting an early release to kind of empty out some of the facilities due to the COVID pandemic.
Great. Regardless of COVID, there are some 1,800 clemency applications pending on Governor Cuomo's desk right now. That's a big number. Can you talk about it?
The process is outlined on the governor's website. It's not a challenging process. And the criteria is you have to be at least a year in, and you have to meet certain criteria to be able to apply for clemency. It is our good guess that most people who are applying for clemency have good institutional records, meaning they're not a disciplinary problem, and they might have a certain amount of time before they're able to see a parole board. Let's take Kim Brown, for example. Kim Brown doesn't see a parole board until 2035, somewhere in there. And she's already has 26 years, I believe, in. The woman who Governor Cuomo gave time computation to last year, or this year, at the beginning of this year, was a white woman who had less time in than Kim Brown. She had less accomplishments, institutional accomplishments, than Kim Brown. And we're looking at the numbers and saying, Governor Cuomo, one, where is it with women of color? Let's start looking at some of these women of color, Black and Hispanic women, who are viable candidates for time computations under the executive clemency. And so Kim Brown is a perfect candidate who actually has employment waiting for her upon her release. She will absolutely be a taxpayer. And so, you know, when you think about it, yes, Kim has a crime that she's definitely remorseful for, but she has more time than the son of Sam, David Berkowitz. And that's kind of disgusting. And we're also looking at, are women getting dealt harsher sentences than men when it comes to some of these crimes? So we're definitely saying to Governor Cuomo, you could do better. You set up a system. He made a big deal out of setting up a database where the associates, defense attorneys can go in and help represent some of these individuals who are applying for clemency. It is our conversations with people from the Prisoners Legal Association that are saying that none of these clemencies are being looked at. They have letters on top of letters from people who have said they've put in their clemency applications. Can they help them get an attorney to represent them? But the governor isn't moving on those applications and he's not putting them into the database.
Now, you brought up Kim Brown. Vocal New York and the Freedom Unshackled Coalition recently came together to launch a campaign to free Kim Brown. Can you just tell us a little bit about Kim Brown and her Clemency Now campaign?
Yes. I'm formerly incarcerated myself. And so I met Kim Brown in the year 2000, very briefly. She was in Bedford and I got transferred on to Albion. But I met her and she stuck out of my head because she was very helpful with me in the law library. She was a law library clerk. And I was looking up some information on my case and she was extremely helpful. And so I reached out to Kim Brown and I reintroduced myself. And we started having conversations, and she then told me that her clemency had been put in. She put in an application for a clemency in 2015. When I started poking around asking questions, she received a letter, this was in 2019, that her clemency was rejected in 2017 for technicality reasons. She never received that notification. She immediately reapplied for clemency. She got her paperwork back in. So we're saying this system is broken somewhere. Somewhere this system is broken. You had a woman who applied in 2015, didn't find out until 2019 that there were some issues with her application. And so we're saying to Governor Cuomo, listen, push her to the head of that list. Get her out of there. let you know, her mother is 80, in her 80s. She still has the ability to spend some years with her mom. Kim is older now. She's in her 50s, and her health is failing. She's gone back and forth to the hospital. And recently, she had a brush with COVID that they thought she had it. So she was quarantined for that. So we're having someone who's having multiple surgeries, going back and forth to the hospital, who definitely has put in the good work as in doing all the programs that Doc says that are mandatory to do and some. So we're saying to Governor Cuomo, let Kim go. Let her go. Give her the ability to present herself in front of the parole commissioners.
Now, as you look at Kim and you look at her accomplishments while she's been incarcerated, what are some things that stand out?
Kim is a mentor. She was part of the ACE program, which is the HIV/AIDS mentoring program in there. Kim is a longstanding member in the church in Bedford Hills Correctional Facility. She's definitely a role model to other women who are in the facility. So, and she has degrees on top of degrees. Kim has a bachelor's, I think she has two bachelor's, an associate's, and she's going for her master's now. So we're talking about a woman who absolutely should be afforded the ability to have clemency.
Ronnie Minter, as we start to wrap up here, what do you want our audience to know?
Well, what we would like for people to do is to call the governor's office. Call the governor's office and say, Governor Cuomo, please give Kim Brown clemency. And what we did was we had a two-day campaign where we had a call to action for people to sign a petition and to make calls to Governor Cuomo's office demanding Governor Cuomo grant clemency now for Kim Brown. You can call the governor's office at 518-474-8390. And just say to him, you know, give Kim Brown a chance. Allow her the opportunity to present herself at the parole board and let the commissioners make the decision on whether or not she should be released.
And if people want to sign the petition or get involved more, where can they find that online?
You can go to freedomunshackled.org. The petition is there. Or you can look on Facebook and go to Vocal New York, Voices of Community Activist Leaders, Vocal New York, and you'll see the petition and the phone script and everything there on their Facebook page. But, you know, this has been a wonderful effort of not just Vocal New York, but also the Center of Law and Justice here in Albany and other organizations coming together, helping to free Kim Brown, and also clemency 4 times a year.
Ronnie Minter, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you for joining us today on the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
Thank you.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
The EBFN, Evidence-Based Fiction Network Radio. It's EBFN, the Evidence-Based Fiction Network Radio. Sundays at 3:30 on Wave Farm Radio for Open Ears. WGXC, Acra, 90.7 FM.
Here's a new song from the Magnetic Fields from their 50-song memoir out in 2017. This is Big Enough for Both of Us from the Magnetic Fields.
This thing is big enough for both of us. It throbs with love enough for two. Bet on the seasons to keep changing, just like I keep on loving you. Maybe you learn to like just being loved, even learn to love me in some way. This heart is big enough for both of us, but you're 3,000 miles away.